So if you read the report, you'll see that, in fact, $5.1 billion worth of the cost to our economy is the time that I'm now going to spend ducking down to the library to get
to look up the Encyclopedia
to
Britannica.
Find out the population of India. Because if apparently, and let's be clear what Google is saying, if they leave, they're saying there's no other product that could perform that search function.
One for mum, one for dad, one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian.
Budgets are about choices, Fran, and you show what you value through the choices you make.
Dead, buried, cremated.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
The treasure.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
How good is Australia?
Just follow the money.
G'day, and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Australia Institute. Google is in the media a lot more lately, thanks to the government's proposed News Media Bargaining Code, which aims to address the market power imbalance between tech giants like Google and Facebook and the Australian media.
Australia makes our rules for things you can do in Australia.
Model now we're told that if we go ahead with this, we're going to break the internet. What I do know is that media businesses should be paid for content.
Google is playing hardball to avoid this regulation at all costs and protect its market power. It released a video claiming that the legislation would basically break the internet, and it's threatened to withdraw its services from the Australian market altogether.
If this version of the code were to become law, it would give us no real choice but to stop making Google search available in Australia.
As part of its campaign to avoid regulation, Google and its consultants released some economic modelling, claiming that the company generates massive economic benefits for Australia, totalling around $39 billion for business and an extra $14 billion for consumers.
Can Australia survive without Google? That's the question.
So it's Google or nothing.
What happens when tech giants play chicken with governments and the media?
Google's submission to the Senate inquiry quoted that $39 billion figure and suggested that it was roughly equivalent to the annual output of Australia's construction sector. When the Australia Institute Centre for Responsible Technology looked into it, we quickly saw that these claims are massively overstated, to say the least, and as might be expected, the negative aspects of Google's practices aren't really acknowledged.
They're saying we're the only potential advertising engine, so without us there would be no advertising, so no benefits from advertising in the Australian economy, which is a bit of a stretch, I reckon.
Google takes content created by other people and makes profit off it. You either have to share that profit or you've got to pay some tax.
So this week we thought it might be interesting and a good opportunity to talk to our chief economist, Richard Dennis, about the use and abuse of economic modelling, one of his favourite pet topics. G'day, Richard.
Morning, Yep.
Google is a pretty big company, but is it really worth $39 billion to business in Australia?
No, not even like it. I mean, it's worth far more than that to its shareholders. Let's be clear, Google is now one of the biggest companies in the world. But it's massively exaggerating its contribution to the Australian economy. And in turn, it's massively exaggerating the consequences, not just to the Australian economy, but the consequences to Australia of its threat to leave our shores if we as a nation state have the temerity to introduce regulation it doesn't like. So to be clear, Google have said, if you introduce this new code, we're going to hate that so much, we'll leave. And that's not going to hurt us, Google. It's going to hurt you.
Australia.
Australia. It's a privately owned, profit-seeking company. If it doesn't think it's profitable to act here in Australia, of course it should shut down in the same way that companies shut down all the time. But they're not saying all these regulations are going to cost us, Google, a lot of money. They're saying we're going to take our bat and ball and we're going to do $39 billion worth of damage to you on the way out the door. And the modelling that they've released is designed to send that threat. But luckily for us, it's nonsense.
So speaking of that, just before we kind of get into some of the details here, how does economic modelling and approaching
a company to do that kind of thing work. So say you're a company called Flugel and you're facing some regulation.
Read my emails again.
You're facing some regulation you're not into. You want to show how, you know, valuable you are. How does that process work to commission some economic modelling?
Yeah, look, I might be floor mining industry or any number of big companies in Australia. Look, there's all sorts of consulting firms around that you can go and ask any question you want of, and then you discuss with the consultant what it is that you'd like to model. I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute, and then the consultants model that. And to be clear, the consultants that that Google have used here have been quite upfront about the assumptions they've made to generate this scary $39 billion number. So, you know, we need to kind of reflect on that. They, as the model, have said, well, if the following assumptions are true, then we reckon the cost would be $39 billion. They've been transparent about that.
Yep.
But the headline that people read
is the $39
billion. $39
billion.
Most people reading $39 billion didn't realise that one of the assumptions on which that $39 billion claim is made is that if Google didn't exist, we'd all go to the library and get books to find out the things we currently search. Like, you laugh, but, you know, again, the consultants make this very clear. I always encourage people, my key skill, read things. Just read. It's very handy. So if you read the report, you'll see that, in fact, $5.1 billion worth of the cost to our economy is the time that I'm now going to spend ducking down to the library to get
to look up the Encyclopedia Britannica.
To find out the population of India. Because if apparently, and let's be clear what Google is saying, if they leave, they're saying there's no other product that could perform that search function.
So just ignoring Bing, ignoring DuckDuckGo.
Like most of us have done, like, to be fair.
To be fair.
But yeah, so the modelling assumes that were Google to exit Australia, that effectively internet search would be exiting Australia. Now, I don't know that that was the smartest assumption to make for two reasons. One, it's easy for us to mock it now and people to make people realise maybe this modelling is not all it's cracked up to be, or these headlines aren't. But also implicit in this modelling is Google saying we are a complete monopoly.
Yeah.
We own the internet. And if we go, you're stuffed. Now, to admit that you have that much market power, to model that you had that much market power and be surprised that a government might want to regulate you,
yeah,
seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
So $5.1 billion worth of the cost to the economy is the time that Ebony and Richard are now going to have to spend dusting off the Funkin' Wagnalls.
There's not been enough opportunity in my life to reference Funkin' Wagnalls. I'd almost forgotten them, Richard.
It's a big day. I remember when the Funkin' Wagnalls arrived at my family home. I think we might have bought them from a door-to-door salesman. I shit you not.
Dear.
There's a job that's gone.
Yeah,
ruined. The internet cost those jobs. Those jobs are gone.
It sure did. There's a couple of other kind of weird things in here. You have talked about the monopoly power of Google, and I'll come back to that in a second. But there's some other curious claims in here, such as 97% of its benefits, i.e. its customer usage, come from outside the technology sector.
Yep.
So why do we need to know that? Is that important at all?
Yeah, what they're trying to say is it's not just a tech problem. We're going to hurt everyone.
Yeah.
All right? So you might think, that's just a Google problem and I don't work for Google and I don't work for Bing and I'm not in online advertising, so what do I care?
Mm.
Again, the whole point of this scare campaign is to say we're going to hurt everybody. Everybody. So really, you know, what they've done, what the modelling suggests is that were Google to leave and were we to be left with no search function and we all had to go to the library, effectively they're saying that all of the products that are sold to you and I as a result of Google advertising, effectively they're saying those products would never be made and sold. Now, this is, again, ridiculous. Again, we can thank the modelers for being transparent about it, but having been transparent, I get to tease it. So imagine that you made leather and there were cars that had leather car seats. Well, we could add up the value of every car that's ever contained your leather.
Yeah.
And say without your leather, these cars would never have been made. So we're so vital to the production of cars, my $10 million worth of leather has led to, you know, $100 million, $1 billion worth of cars.
Mm.
But most people would probably say, oh, wouldn't they get their leather from somewhere else?
Yeah.
Or could they use cloth? But there are substitutes.
Yeah.
So built into this kind of economic modelling is this idea that there's all these goods and services out there that have a little bit of Google ad in them.
Mm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Right? There's all sorts of services sold through the community that have a little bit of Google ad in them. But to suggest that without a little bit of Google ad, the whole product wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And that no one would ever buy it and no one would ever make it is just silly.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the modelers go further than that. Imagine you not only made leather and people used leather to put in seats and put the seats in cars, so you added up the entire value of all the cars that ever had a leather seat. What if you then added up the value of all the things that everyone did with their cars? Because, again, that's what this modelling does.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, so it's not just that the things that were sold with a Google ad in them that mattered. It's all the intermediate goods that went into that as well.
That's
so, again, Google are the dominant suppliers of online advertising in Australia. If they left tomorrow, it would be disruptive.
Yeah.
If we switched from paying Google to advertise gadgets in the lead up to Christmas to paying Bing or a newspaper directly to advertise a gadget in the lead up to Christmas, maybe that's not quite as good for the advertiser. Maybe that's not quite as good for the customer.
Yeah.
There might be some costs, but $39 billion, no way.
And just because I can never resist giving you a bit of a free kick at the mining industry,
I've got
Richard.
My one wood out to mix a metaphor. Let me tee off. What you got, Em?
Well, just talk to me about how economic modelling has been abused by industries like the mining industry to really puff up their contribution yeah. and avoid regulation, taxes, build new commerce, whatever it is that they're trying to do. How has an industry like that really harmed what can sometimes be a really useful exercise in economic modelling?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm an economist. I like economics. My PhD revolved around economic modelling. You know, I always say between consenting adults, economic modelling is really quite useful. No, because it allows someone like myself that understands how the model works and someone else who understands how the model works to kind of look for likely impacts and sometimes some unexpected impacts to get a sense of the relative magnitudes of things. You know, what's the big effect of a change and what are the small effects? So between consenting adults, these models can shed light on things that you might otherwise not either anticipate or see as clearly. But these models have kind of broken free from academia and you know, now they kind of rampage across our public debate, where basically anyone willing to pay $200,000 to $400,000, it's not cheap, can pay someone to go and effectively exaggerate the size and contribution of their industry. So I'll give you an example. The health industry in Australia, Health and Community Services, is the biggest employer in the country.
Yep.
Right, according to this top secret website called the Australian Bureau of Statistics, the health departments in our state and federal governments and all the nurses and all the ancillary services engaged in the health sector are by far the biggest employer in the country.
Yeah.
And according to that same top secret ABS website, mining is tiny. Okay. And to put it into context, there's not an electorate in the country where more people work in coal mining than work in health.
Yeah.
Right? None.
Not even in like the Hunter Valley or
no.
wherever Adani is.
No. Right? Wherever Adani is. Well, it doesn't employ many people yet. So health is big. Health is big everywhere. If you want to talk backbones of the labour market and backbones of the economy, you're talking about health.
Yeah.
But that's no fun because the business community wants to pay less tax and for the government to spend less money on health.
Yeah.
And the mining industry employs almost no people, but because people hate pollution and people don't like all the dust and the noise and they don't like the environmental harm, they don't like the climate change, the one thing the mining industry's got going for it is the perception they employ a lot of people.
Yeah.
So modelling, unfortunately, has, you know, while it can be used to shed light on interesting relationships, has become sort of PR 101.
Yeah.
So much so, and we debunked this during the last Queensland state election, The Queensland Resource Council put out research ahead of the Queensland state election suggesting that the mining industry employed more people in one of the inner city Queensland electorates than lived in the electorate. It didn't just claim responsibility for all of the employment, it claimed responsibility for about 120% of employment in an inner city suburb of Brisbane.
Yeah.
And who knew that was the hotspot for mining in Queensland? So, yeah, unfortunately, we have these bizarre multiplier effects. We have the kind of confusion that we see in the Google modelling, and it makes it very easy for employers or industries that employ a small number of people but who have a lot of money to spend to pump up their own tyres.
Yeah.
And the consequence of that is that when I say health employs far more people, no one believes me.
Yeah.
And they won't go to the bloody ABS website and check. And Richard's right, by the way, people, I'm right.
And
right.
I've tried.
I've tried. But instinctively, like, but how could so many people have told me a lie for so long? And that's a good question.
Yeah.
But go to the ABS website.
So just before we wrap up, I want to come back to the actual issue that we are trying to solve here, which is the huge and incredible market power of Google and Facebook. And the ACCC was really careful to point out that they're prioritising this issue because it's harming journalism and journalism is important to democracy. Mm. Given where we are at the moment, Google's really done nothing to avoid shining a spotlight on how huge their market power is here. All the threats, this modelling, everything that they're actually doing is actually showing how much market power they have.
Absolutely. And look, once upon a time, in a complete fluke coincidence, newspapers were the best way for someone that wanted to sell their car to find someone who wanted to buy a car. Or it was a great way for an employer that was looking for a new employee to find that employee. So classified advertising used to be called the rivers of gold, all right? And by the way, that had nothing to do with journalism.
Yeah.
It just happened to be that a lot of people liked the idea of buying the Saturday paper and getting some news and some sport and everything they could possibly want to buy was there for them. And, you know, there was competition. There were things like the Trading Post that just had the classified ads and no news.
Yeah. Right?
But historically, newspapers around the world made a lot of money out of those classified ads. And right now, newspapers still make a lot of money, I don't know, with an ad for Coles or Woolworths, with an ad for a car, with an ad for a tennis racket. So advertising is the main source of revenue for newspapers who employ journalists. And because eyeballs buy the newspapers, they're attractive to the advertisers. But in the online space, and this I don't think is quite well enough understood, in the online space, something really different happens. If you want to advertise a new car, it makes sense to put the car ad in the car section of the paper.
Mm.
And sell a tennis racket, you stick it in the sports, right? So if you go to the Sydney Morning Herald website, you might see an ad for a car or a tennis racket. But newspaper's website can't ever charge as much as Google can for an ad because Google knows everything you've ever done online ever.
Yeah.
So when Ebony types in Australian Open to Google, the ad that's displayed next to your search results is not just a random ad for a tennis racket.
Yeah.
It's the ad that the best algorithms in the world think, given everything we know about Ebony's entire search history, her online viewing habits, you name it, right? All of that information about Ebony means I can display the perfect ad for you in the Google search.
The site. Perfect rose gold glitter tennis racket.
That's just where I was heading. And when your newspaper tries to sell an ad, they can't say to the advertiser, they can't say to the tennis racket company, when Ebony comes to the Sydney Morning Herald website, we know everything she's ever done.
Yeah.
So what's actually happening here is that because Google owns all of Ebony's data, Google can pitch ads at Ebony far more effectively than the newspaper ever can. So their bargaining power is not just about the market share.
Mm.
There's this incredible barrier to entry that if I set up Flugel tomorrow, yeah. I don't have your whole back catalogue of search.
Yeah.
So I can't say to an advertiser, hey, give it to me. I'll match your tennis racket ad to the people in Australia most likely to feel like buying a tennis racket right now. So the market power isn't just how big they are, it's how much they know and how hard it is for a newspaper or Flugel or anyone else to kind of start from scratch and try and compete with them.
Yeah. And so what Google is to search advertising, I think Facebook is to display advertising.
And same thing, like Facebook knows everything you've ever paused to watch on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Facebook knows all the things that you've engaged with in Facebook. So when I, as a person trying to sell microphones or iPads or tennis rackets, approach Facebook and say, I'd like to put an ad in front of the right kind of people, Facebook knows more about who the right kind of people are than the newspapers or anyone else ever can. So their market power is not just enormous, but it's very hard from a free market point of view for any competitor to ever catch up.
Well, we might wrap it up there and maybe we'll pick up some of these arguments about the news media bargaining code in a bit more detail down the track. But thank you very much for explaining the use and abuse of economic modelling.
Get yourself to that ABS website and say, damn, Richard was right again.
It's where all the data is hidden,
it's
folks.
It's all hidden, top secret.
This episode was recorded on Tuesday, the 16th of February, 2021, and things may have changed since recording. You can visit australiainstitute.org.au for all our latest research and content, including Dave Richardson's analysis of the flaws in Google's commissioned economic modelling. We're on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS, and my Twitter handle is ebony_Bennett with a double N double T, and Richard is at RDNS_TAI. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy, and our theme music is by Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum. Stay safe out there, and thanks for listening.